Let the church say amen.
Amen.
After you've done all you can, just stand. After you've been through all the ups and downs, all the twists and turns, all the trials and tribulations, just stand. First, giving all praises to God, who's the head of my life, to the pastor of this church and my friend, Reverend Darrell Armstrong, who is coming back from Los Angeles this morning. We did the kind of switch here. He was in Los Angeles and I was in New Jersey at the same time. Now, that may not never happen again, but it happened yesterday. We want to once again thank, it's a blessing to be in Shiloh. I don't feel like a visitor, and I know that, but it's nice to be here in the summer. Amen. Any way you can change that anniversary around, it'll be all right with me. This is a lot better. This is L.A. weather. So I want to acknowledge my wife is here on this trip. I asked her to stand. She's not able to usually come in March. Janita, I think she'll be able to come next year. I think that school trip works out all right. I think it's the falls on her vacation falls on the time of the trip, so she'll be able to make it next year. We are blessed to be here, and we don't want to be before you long. We know that you have a lot of activities going on, and I don't want to be in the way of those pancakes that everyone is waiting on. So I'm going to bring you into the Word. We want to thank you for the greeting this morning. We want to thank you for the everyone for all that they've done. And now as we're here, we just want to bring forward the Word from the Word of God. And we'll ask that those that have their Bibles, if they're able to stand, we'll ask that you stand for the reading of God's Word. Coming from Judges, the 7th chapter. Judges, the 7th chapter, and I'm going to begin at the 18th verse. Judges 7:18. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets, also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp, and all the host ran, cried, and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled in Bathshittah, in Zerelath, and to the, I should have stopped on the last verse, and to the border of Abimelech unto Tabath. And we're going to close there with all those words. But what we're going to talk about this morning is how to win the battle. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. One verse too many. How to Win the Battle. This is a very well-known piece of scripture, and it's dealing with a man by the name of Gideon. And Gideon fought this battle with 300 men against 32,000 Midianites. And Gideon won the battle with 300 men against 32,000. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? So as I stand here this morning, you might say, what does that battle fought that long ago have to do with me? And as we look at the battle, I think all of us have been in some battles. Some of us are going through some battles right now. They could be some financial battles. They could be some spiritual battles. There could be some battles of health. There could be some battles of your children just ain't acting right. But whatever it is, we all deal with battles. You heard that, I think Deacon Porter for that introduction. But with all that great introduction, I'm dealing with battles. I don't care how long your resume is, that doesn't preclude you from having battles in this life. I don't care how many reverends or doctors or all of that they put on your title, that still does not mean that you don't have to deal with battles. So here we are, and Gideon won this battle, but there's something that leads up to winning battles. You see, there's something that has to go on in our lives. And so I'm here for this short time this morning from the Word of God to give you some assistance in dealing with your battles. So Gideon was, if you read early on about Gideon was the most unlikely person to lead anybody into battle. When the Lord his first encounter with Gideon, and when you go back to the sixth chapter and you look at the 12th verse, it says, an angel of the Lord sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, and that was the first meeting of Gideon with the Lord. See, before you can go into battle and go into a battle in which you know you need some help, is you got to have an encounter with the Lord. You got to have an encounter with the Lord. You got to meet the Lord somewhere along the line. Don't try to go into battle without encountering or meeting the Lord. See, Paul was on the road to Damascus to persecute some Christians. But something happened on the road to Damascus. He had an encounter with Jesus. And when he had an encounter with Jesus, it changed his whole life. And so we here have Gideon, and Gideon has an encounter with God. And the first thing happens in the encounter, and Gideon, one thing I like about Gideon said, I don't think I'm the man that you're looking for. God had come to him and said, I need you to fight this battle against the Midianites. And Gideon, when you go down to the verse number 15, Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. My father's house is the poorest in the land. And I'm the lowest of the low in the poorest house. Now that's pretty low, isn't it? You can't get much lower than that. So he is the lowest on the totem pole. His family is the lowest, and he's the lowest in his family. But see, the way God works, God doesn't look at, he's not looking for kings. He's looking for somebody that will be willing to do exactly what he tells them to do. So the first thing is Gideon had an encounter with the Lord. So first thing, Write down, just say, first thing, you must have an encounter with the Lord to win the battle. The second thing that must happen in your life if you're going to win the battle, if you truly want to win the battle, is the second thing that must happen is that you must make some changes at home. Okay, now, changes at home. Now, don't come to church. It's easy to put a suit and a tie on. I did that this morning and realized it's 5 o'clock in L.A. Barely awake, but I got it done. But just how you come to church, that is not, doesn't define who you are. Okay, some of us can put on a good front. You know, some things going on, and we look good for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. We can even stretch it out to 3 hours. But when we get back home, we go back into what our situation is. And so we want to battle our way out of the situation, but first thing you got to take care of is home. Don't have home a mess, and church is wonderful. So, Lord God worked with Gideon first at home. Before he could get on the battlefield, it says in the word, he told Gideon in verse 26, he said, build an altar unto the Lord, thy God, upon the top of the rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 of his men and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, then do it by night. He did it by night. See, Gideon, Lord is working. God is working on Gideon, but he's not there yet. Gideon said, okay, I'm going to do what you're telling me to do. But the people in my family, they built that off altar of Baal. And so God told Gideon, you got to tear it down. You got to tear down that altar of Baal. See, we got to tear some things down first at home. You know, we got some things going on at home, and we need to tear it down before we can get right and start doing things in the church and out in the community. We got to get home right. So Gideon had to burn down the altar. His family altar, but Gideon said, I'm not going to do it by day. He would have probably been like me. I'm going to do it at night when no one can look. I don't want to be seen by my family. I don't want them to know that I'm tearing down the altar. But he went ahead and tore down the altar and set up the altar for the Lord. See, that's the second thing we got to do. After we have the encounter with the Lord, we got to get home right. Home can't be a mess. You know, you got to, if you're a father, you're a mother, get your children in some type of order. You can't go home and you're a leader, a deacon, a usher, a choir member in the church, and you go home and your kids are telling you what to do. That ain't order. I don't know. When I was young, I couldn't tell. I was raised by my grandparents. I could not tell them what to do. Matter of fact, I couldn't talk back or say anything because there was a switch waiting for me. I know that ain't what we're supposed to say. I missed the whole Adrian Peterson thing. I missed it all because they were telling me at work, isn't that terrible? And I was like, I got hit with one. And my understanding got better by and by. I got tired of getting hit with the switch. So we in life, we got to get home right. We can't be a mess at home. As a preacher, I can't get up to preach and tell you something and my wife start looking in the other direction and say, yeah, right. That wouldn't be good. So she didn't do that, did she? No. So we got to get that right. But there's a third thing. I won't be before you long. We only got about five things. The third thing is, when you go to chapter 7, when it came time for Gideon to get into the battle, and he looked out and he had 32,000 men. He had 32,000 men, and the odds weren't good. He was going up against 135,000 Midianites. But God had already showed Gideon something. Gideon was testing God to see if God was with him. In the preceding verses, he had put some fleece out from the sheep and said, well, if you can make the fleece wet and the grass dry, that will show that you are with me. And God did it to show him something. Then Gideon, that wasn't enough. Gideon said, let's reverse it. Let's make the dew wet and the fleece dry. And then God did that. Gideon was still doubting. But Gideon saw all that and said, okay, I'm ready now. And I got 32,000 men, and God can do this. I've seen him, he's talked to me now. He's shown me the way. I've done the altar, and I survived that. He's shown me through the fleece. Now I've got these 32,000 men, and God said, you got too many. What do you mean I got too many? See, the next thing that we need to know is that there are some relationships that we don't need to have if we're going to be in the battle. And I'm not telling you to cut your family members loose. I'm not telling you to cut your friends loose. But I'm telling you that when you go into the battle, you need to let them know that you are in the battle with the Lord. That you are on God's side. Let's not, when you go over your friend's house, don't bring up God. You know, they're doing what they're doing, and you're partaking in that, and you're saying, I'm all right because I go to church on Sunday. No, you can't partake in what, when you come over to their house, talk to them about some Jesus. You know, don't talk to them about Corona and Heineken. You got to talk to them about some Jesus. And so you start telling, there's some relationships we don't need to have. Those relationships, those people that tell us, oh, you don't need to be doing all that. You become a church guy now, huh? You can't hang no more. Don't you know that you can have your best time with Jesus in your life? You can do things with Jesus that you can't do out in the world. But when Jesus is the head of your life. And so the number dwindled, and they said the ones that fear the Lord, the ones that fear the Lord, they don't need to be with you. When you go into battle, you need some people that are on the same plane as you, that they are unified in what you want to do. And if they are off doing something else, you need to let them go and work for the Lord. You can still call them every now and then, see how they doing, but you need to, there's some relationships you, and so here, 32,000 got knocked down to 300. Wow. 300 against 32,000. Now that's some bad odds. That's some bad odds, but when God is in it, the odds are not bad. See, first, what we got to do is the possible. That's what Gideon did. He did the possible. He did what God told him to do. And then let God do the impossible. If we do the possible, he laid down the altar for the Lord. He tore down the altar. He did exactly what God told him to do. He could have said, nah, I'm going with the 32,000. But the ones that feared, they left. And then the other 9,700, there was 9,700 that kneeled. There was 9,700 that kneeled down. And there was another 300 that lapped the water, which was God's next test. And I'm sure Gideon would have loved to have the 9,700 instead of the 300. But God said, no, you take the 300. And then you go on. So our relationships, we need it. And the next point is, the fourth point is, that was in the song. I don't really need to say very much because that was in the song. It says, stand. The verse I read in verse number 7:21 says, and they stood, every man in his place. round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. Don't you know, if you just stand, if you just stand, when all everything is just going wrong and it doesn't seem like anything is going right, just stand. Stand for the Lord. When they're talking about you, stand. When they're kicking you when you're down, stand. You just stand for the Lord. Because you're going to go through some trials and tribulations. You start doing more in the church. You start doing more for the Lord. That's when it's going to get difficult. Now, there might be someone here said, well, it's been easy for me. I haven't had no problem. But, well, you might have just entered into the business of the Lord. You might just be coming to church, and that's good. That's where you got to start. You got to start by coming. Well, Satan's not really messing with me. Just give him a little more time. You know, go join the choir. Go tell somebody you want to be on the usher board. That you want to start. You go to the pastor and say, Pastor, I might not be able to do this, but I want to do some more work for the Lord. What can I do? Then Satan will get busy on you. Then he'll start coming after you. When you start, as long as you say, oh, no, the battle's just too tough. Too much going on in my life. I just can't do it. That's for Deacon so-and-so to do. You sounded just like Gideon. But Gideon took the reins and saw that the Lord, he was the most, if you looked at it, he would be the most unlikely person that would be standing with 300 men against 32,000. But the battle, as I read to you, the battle, the trumpet sound, and all he needed was some trumpets, some pitchers, and a torch. And with that, the battle was won. The battle was won because he put it all in God's hands. See, what we got to realize, no matter what position we're in or where we're at, it's the Lord that is leading us. The Lord will win the battle. When David came up against Goliath, David didn't say, it's my battle. He said, the battle is not mine. It's the Lord's. When you come into a battle, see, the Lord can make some changes in lives. He can take a shepherd boy and have him stand up in his place against a giant. He can take three Hebrew boys and have them stand when everybody else is bowing down. Have them standing and saying that the Lord is the head of our lives. Daniel in the lion's den. He can stand because Daniel realized that the Lord could get him out. He might not do it. As the Hebrew boy said, he may not do it, but I know he's able. I know he's able to get us out of any situation. And so I want to close this up today and say, now with all of that, and the battle is won, but Gideon kept on moving. The Bible says in verse, you go on to verse number 4, chapter 8. The battle is on, and now Gideon says, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. He and the 300 men that were with him faint. That means they were tired. You know, after you've done a lot of battling, it does tire you out. Physically and mentally. But it said, yet pursuing them. See, in the battle, in this life that we're living and this life that we have, we are always going to be battling. And Lord's work does not end. I'm about a year away from retirement. And when I retire, I'm not going to care anything more about what happens at UCLA on my job. Well, I might care a little. But not to the point where I'll be in tomorrow to try to fix it. No, see, when I retire, they're going to give me whatever they give me, a pen or whatever they give you when you retire, and give me my retirement pay. But then I am done. But the Lord's work is, you're never done. You won the battle. Gideon won the battle, but there's still work to be done. So the Bible says that they kept pursuing. That's what we need to do. Once we get through with one battle, we need to pursue to something else. I'm through with this, but God has given me something else. There might be some young person that I touch today, but there's another young person out there that I can touch. There may be someone that was down and needed some assistance, and I brought them forward and through the Lord in my life, but now there's someone else that I can touch. See, you don't finish with this battle. I'm glad that the battle goes on and on because Jesus did too much. He did too much. He went up on a cross over 2,000 years ago. He didn't go up and stretch himself out wide and get nails in his feet and nails in his wrists. And he didn't die on that cross for us to do nothing. He didn't die on that cross just to sit around and say, we're just too busy today. I know we get tied up in the things of life, but there's always time to do something for the Lord. When you're in your neighborhood, like I was talking about relationships, tell somebody about Jesus. When they see you walking around and you're smiling and you're going through, tell them, oh, how do you feel? It's Jesus in my life. It's Jesus that gets me through from day to day. I'm going to leave, but I was in a meeting. They asked me to speak at UCLA at a professional development seminar, and I got up and they wanted me to talk about the 25 years I was in the first group at UCLA that went through this professional development, and they wanted me to talk about it. And so I got to talking about professional development, but at some point I started talking about Jesus, and I didn't even know I was talking about Jesus. And then I looked down, and the people that were running the seminar were looking at me a little crazy because I was talking about Jesus. I said, you know, God is just too good. I said, 25 years ago, I was making this, and I make this now. I said, God is just too good. I said, when I look back 32 years ago, I was on a bus going from here to there, but now I'm driving in a car, and I know God is just too good. I remember when life didn't look, I didn't know which way I was going. The first year of school, I flunked out and I had to go back to JC. But I said, God is working through this, and God brought me all the way out of that. I said, God is just too good. He's just too good. And they just looked down and they were shaking their heads, but I kept on talking. I said, God is just too good. I said, He woke us up this morning and started us on our way. Isn't He good? Isn't He good? He, God, and all the things that we did, He didn't have to wake us up this morning. I don't know how you got here, but if you got here by car, bus, walk, or somebody picked you up, God is too good. And when we all do whatever we do, let's look at Gideon. Gideon, at what is all was done, Gideon said, God is just too good. He's just too good. Paul, after all he went through, looked back over his life and said, God was just too good. He brought me from a mighty long way. I know He's brought you from a mighty long way. I don't know where He brought you from, but He brought you from a mighty long way. If you're here today and you can stand on your feet, I know that He brought you from a mighty long way. If you can clap your hands and just lift up praises to the Lord, I know that He's brought you a mighty long way. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. Let the church say amen. 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 And amen. Amen. I had 5 pages of notes. I never even opened it. God is good. If you put the word in your heart and let God. If you just let go and let God, when you have that encounter, just realize that God has given us this for whatever time, but we all have a purpose. We all have a purpose to do for the Lord. The doors of the church are open. 2,000 years ago, Jesus
went up on an old rugged cross. He did it for me and for you. And if there's someone here today that has not accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, now's the time to come forward to be the best decision you ever made. There be one.